The Goodwear, America in World War II, 1939 to 1945. Written by Daniel Harding Westbrook. Narrated by Cole Mwen. Thank you for listening. The book begins now. Rolajou, the world on fire. On the first day of September 1939, German tanks crossed the Polish frontier at dawn. By noon, the Luftwaffe was bombing Warsaw. Within hours, the largest land war the world had ever seen was underway on the European continent. France and Britain declared war on Germany 2 days later, honoring the treaty guarantees they had made to Poland and hoped never to have to keep. The Second World War had begun, not with a single shot, but with the roar of 1,000 engines, the shriek of dive bombers, and the grinding of panzer treads over the flat Polish plain. The United States was not there. Americans watched from a distance of 4,000 miles, separated from the carnage by the Atlantic Ocean and by a fierce national conviction that Europe's catastrophes were not America's to solve. The memory of the First World War, how 16-0 Americans dead in a conflict that had settled nothing and produced the very conditions that spawned Hitler, had calcified into a national policy. Neutrality. Isolation, the belief that the oceans were barriers rather than highways. For nearly 2 years, that distance held. While Germany swept through Denmark and Norway in the spring of 1940, while the Wehrmacht shattered the French army and drove the British Expeditionary Force into the sea at Dunkirk, while the Luftwaffe bombed London night after night, Americans debated, argued, and watched. President Franklin Roosevelt understood the danger more clearly than most of his countrymen, but he governed a democracy, and his countrymen were not ready to fight. In Asia, the war had been going on even longer. Japan had invaded Manchuria in 1931 and launched a full-scale war against China in July 1937. By 1939, Japanese armies occupied the Chinese coast and most of the major cities. Shanghai, Nanking, where Japanese soldiers had massacred an estimated 200,000 civilians in December 1937. Canton, Hankou. Chiang Kai-shek's nationalist government had retreated to Chungking in the interior and fought on with diminishing resources. Millions of Chinese were dying in a war that American newspapers covered sporadically and American politicians acknowledged. Only when the Japanese bombed an American gunboat, the USS Panay, on the Yangtze River in December 1937. The fall of France in June 1940 changed everything, not immediately, but profoundly. For Americans who had assumed that France and Britain would contain Hitler as they had contained the Kaiser, the speed and totality of the French collapse was a shock that required a new reckoning. If France could fall in 6 weeks, if the British could be driven off the continent, then perhaps the oceans were not as wide as they seemed. Perhaps the world was smaller than Americans wished it to be. Still, isolation held. Charles Lindbergh, the most famous man in America, argued that Germany was too powerful to defeat, that the war in Europe was none of America's business, that intervention would lead to dictatorship at home. Millions agreed with him. Roosevelt won re-election in November 1940, partly by promising that American boys would not be sent into any foreign wars, a promise he was already working to circumvent through the Lend-Lease program that would soon funnel billions in war materiel to Britain. Between the fall of France and the attack on Pearl Harbor stretched 18 months of uneasy watching, of creeping involvement, of convoy escorts and naval patrols in the Atlantic, of bitter domestic argument about what America owed the world and what the world owed America. It was a period of profound moral tension, the tension between the desire for safety and the knowledge that safety purchased through indifference to atrocity has a price of its own. Then came December 7, 1941, and the question was no longer hypothetical. This is the story of what happened next. The Road to Where, 1939-1941. Chapter 1. Hitler's Europe. The War Before America Entered. Hitler's Europe. The War Before America Entered. And I, at 4:45 in the morning on September 1, 1939, the German training ship Schleswig-Holstein, ostensibly on a goodwill visit to the Polish port city of Danzig, opened fire on the Polish military transit depot at the Westerplatte Peninsula. At the same moment, 53 German divisions totaling 1.5 million men crossed the Polish frontier.